The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Tuesday, February 9th. The 2020 NFL season has ended. There's much to process from the Super Bowl, a resounding Chiefs victory, 31-9, Bucks victory over the Chiefs, 31-9. And to unpack it a little bit further, joining me are Ryan Wilson and John Breach. What's up, fellas?
Long time no talk. Talked to you at 3 a.m. in Sanford, Connecticut, and here we are 3 p.m. and I'm back home.
This is like how much you talk to someone when you're dating them in high school or college. That's this podcast now, guys. We're just dating each other. That's what it feels like.
Breach, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up.
We were live for a substantial amount of time yesterday. I don't know if, did we do the, Is the whole thing? Oh my God. The whole stream is live on YouTube? 9.5 hours on YouTube. What the hell? Who's going to watch 9.5 hours of the Super Bowl countdown?
If someone films themselves watching 9.5 hours of that and sends it to us, we will mail you a check for $80,000.
Brinson will Venmo you.
Down. No, I will not. I'm not paying
anybody. $10. $1 per hour that you watch. And I will chip in if Brinson can't afford that.
I will make you cookies.
But you know what's funny is that if someone does do that, one of us is going to have to watch it for 9.5 hours.
You have to watch somebody watching it for 9.5 hours. That's right.
We should not do that contest.
No, that's Debo's job. He said he wanted to watch more of you guys.
At some point, this headfirst dive into constant live streaming is going to get one of us in trouble, by the way. And it's probably going to be me.
100%. If there are odds. Oh, sorry, Wilson, go ahead.
I'll probably get fired and Brinson will get a raise out of it somehow. That's what'll happen.
Make sure and check out the podcast feed. We have that full recap available. We also have, if you don't want to listen to 9.5 hours of us on YouTube, you can check out, just the actual podcast itself, a recap. Please leave a 5-star review. If you get a chance, we will be handling all mailbag questions. Anybody who leaves a 5-star review on Apple Podcast and ask us a question about this all season, we will get to it. So go ahead and get your questions in now. It takes a little while for them to populate. We will be doing mailbags throughout the off season. Love doing mailbags. You guys are great listeners and we appreciate everybody for their support. We also will have a discussion about the future for the Bucks and Chiefs later this week, an off season preview and a early look ahead to the coming season, in 2021. It's sneakily a short turnaround for more football. Let's dive into the game from Sunday night first and go a little bit deeper into it. We did, last year, we apparently did this. What was the defining moment? It's almost hard to remember that we were like a year ago, we were sitting on that stand outside of, Robbie Joe or whatever they call that place now.
Joe Robbie.
Yeah.
Joseph Robert.
Robbie Joe. Yeah.
Well, I don't remember what do we, I think it was, did we all agree that it was like the Wasp play that was the defining moment?
What else would it be, I wonder?
I just can't remember exactly what we said the defining moment of the Super Bowl was, because I'm sure we all had to come up with different answers. Well, what would you say the defining moment for Super Bowl 55 was?
For me, I'm going to say the last drive of the first half for both teams Chiefs settled for a field goal when they needed to score. And then the myriad pass interference calls that were hot garbage and the meltdown that ensued by the Chiefs and the touchdown that ensued after that going into the half to make it 21-6. And they still had a chance, the Chiefs coming back out of the half, and all they did was kick a field goal, trade a touchdown with the Bucs on their next drive, and that was virtually it. So the last drives of the first half for both teams sort of turned things around, because if the Chiefs score and you have enough time where the Bucs can't get the ball, it is 13-14, I think, right? Yeah, it's 13-14 going in the half. Instead, it's 21-6.
Wait. If the – you're saying if the
– it's 13 to – it's 10 to 14, sorry.
Yeah, let's say 9, because I think they get a field goal. It was – right?
No, they kicked the field goal to make it 14-6.
Yes.
If they scored there instead, it's 14
to – oh, 10. I see what you're saying. It's 14-10. Right.
Instead
right.
of 21-6.
Yeah. That's correct. Breach, do you agree, disagree?
I mean, I agree with that, but it depends on what we're using as our definition of defining moment. Cause Ryan's putting together two drives here. So it was kind of a series of moments. Whereas, you know, like last year, you could say there was this 3rd and 15 call. If the Chiefs don't convert 3rd and 15 with like whatever it was, 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, they don't win the game. They're trailing by 10. It was all over. And so I kind of think of defining moment as in 5 years from now, what are we going to remember from the Super Bowl? And for me, it's just going to be Tom Brady holding the Lombardi trophy. And it's where you say, this guy spent 20 years in the AFC and everybody said, oh, he's in the AFC East. He gets a free pass to the playoffs. There's been so many excuses for it's the truthers. Brinson mentioned the Montana truthers, but there are the Brady truthers who don't want to recognize that Brady is a great quarterback. And so there's just all these excuses. Well, he got a free pass to the playoffs out of the AFC East. And so, he's automatically in the divisional round every year, and Belichick was his coach. And so finally, what do you get? You get him sent to the NFC. You get people saying, you know, Drew Brees is there. Aaron Rodgers is there. He's not winning the Super Bowl. He didn't have an offseason to learn this offense. This is not going to happen. If he gets to the playoffs, that would be impressive. And so what do we see? We see Tom Brady, hoisting the trophy because he won the Super Bowl in the NFC. First quarterback ever to do it in the NFC and the AFC. And then if you want to talk about a game moment, then for me, it will just be the 5 years, 5 years from now, all we'll remember is that Patrick Mahomes got murdered in this game. Like, okay. we might 20 years from now look back on it as the worst game of Patrick Mahomes' career. Like, that might carry forever, and that's what this Super Bowl will be remembered for.
So one just to clarify, your two defining moments, one are the entire game, and two is the Tom Brady holding the trophy after the game.
Didn't he get on me for my defining moment being too long?
Well, it was, I was thinking making one play, but I was like, you know what? I can one up Ryan. If he's going to go with two possessions, I'll just go with every time the Chiefs touch the ball.
And he said, wait, if I need to make it an in-game moment, it would be Patrick Mahomes, every time Patrick Mahomes got hit. I actually think Ryan is spot on a little. I was trying to narrow it down and drill it down. I agree with you. I mean, like, Brady winning this is crazy. I mean, like, the fact that he went and did this in his first year in Tampa Bay in a pandemic and they had to, you know, they had to go at Washington, at New Orleans, at Green Bay, and then beat Patrick Mahomes at home. I mean, like, that pathway, there's a lot of traps along that pathway where you don't come away with a Super Bowl. So, I mean, I'm with you, Breach. I mean, it's a legacy shifting Super Bowl victory for Tom Brady, but I kind of go back, maybe, and I think just for the sake of making it a little bit different, instead of pointing to the, and cause I went back and watched the first half, this on Monday morning before we recorded this. And I mean, it, like, the Chiefs, first of all, I think the Chiefs offensive game plan was awful. Like, terrible. Like, they got completely outcoached by, Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians and that defensive staff. I mean, they didn't have it. I don't know if it was an Eric Bieniemy thing. I don't know if it was an Andy Reid thing. I don't know if it was Andy Reid is distracted. I'm just telling you, like, they weren't like running any short, quick option, like, looks for Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. It was like trying to get vertical, trying to get deep on everything and forcing Mahomes with no time in the pocket. He's just getting crushed. And when there were blitzes called at perfect times. On the first drive, Bowles dialed up a double cornerback blitz had the cornerbacks blitz off of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and into and onto Mahomes. And they had these three safety looks going that, you know, just put Mahomes wasn't ready for it. And by the time they started to adjust, it was too late. But
that was the only time all season they did that two cornerback safety blitz.
Yeah, sure. You know, that's what you do in the Super Bowl. You know, you bust out the good plays.
No, I'm not commenting on it. I'm just saying that they had never seen.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I would actually point to the offsides penalty on the field goal as a defining moment in the Super Bowl because you think it was a bad call? You mean?
Why are we calling that? Who gives a crap?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you can't line up in the neutral zone
Breach's buddy, who's the official that works for the other network that you cited last night, Breach?
Terry McCauley.
I think he tweeted again this morning. He said he rewatched the pass interference on Mike Evans, the first one, and he said it's not there. But go ahead.
Well, but to the point about the offside thing, like you can disagree with it however you want. Like, why are we calling it? But, you know, you could look at it and say, all right, you know, you could have called guys on either side of the line. One, I think that speaks to sort of how the Chiefs approach this game. Like, that's sloppy. You know, it's a 4th and 5. You cannot line up offsides on a field goal attempt because you're going to give them a first down. You come at Tom Brady like that with that lack of preparation and like that lack of discipline, you're not going to win the Super Bowl. And that, you know, when stuff like that is happening, it should be a red flag about how this team is prepared. And then secondly, after the offsides play, they immediately took a shot down the field. The very next play was a 17-yard touchdown to Gronk. And that changed. I'm not going to say, you know, that didn't change everything, but it goes from 10-3 to 14-3. And then as Ryan points out, they have to settle for a field goal. It's 14-6. And then the timeouts by Andy Reid, it's sort of like it all sort of escalated and snowballed into all of a sudden it's 21-6 at halftime. And as, you know, as good as Patrick Mahomes is, you have to at least worry, like, can they come back?
I would push back a little bit on that. And JJ wrote about this on Monday morning. I got to find it, but I think he wrote about the Chiefs over the course of the season getting a ton of penalties. And number one, that was an interception that Tyrann Mathieu had. And they called it back because that stupid defensive holding that had nothing to do with it. You could argue the ball was tipped.
That's going to get called. That was a holding call.
If the ball's tipped when you're being held, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So that's a BS call, number one. And that changes the tenor of how that was going. That's a mistake by Brady. That's a mistake. I don't even know who deflected the ball. Great play there. So it's just a series of things. And being offsides isn't a lack of preparation or sloppiness. It's a dumbass call by an official that doesn't need to make that call. What do you call
it? You're offside. I mean,
it wasn't clear that they were egregiously offsides. And how many times in your life have they called offsides and the person standing on the very end of the line of the field goal in the 20 years you've been watching football? That's my point. It's just a weird time to call it. If you call it in the preseason because you're working on stuff, great. You call it in the Super Bowl after, as Breach noted last night, they haven't called anything all Super Bowl, all playoff run. And now all of a sudden these guys are throwing flags like their lives depend on it. That's all.
See, I absolutely agree with the point Ryan just made, but I do think the flip side of that is, what in the hell are you doing even taking the chance of lining off offsides on a 4th and 5 play in the Super Bowl? Like, why even cut it that close? If you scoop back 6 inches, you don't even have to worry about this. It's not even a debate. So I do not think the official should have thrown the flag. I do agree with Ryan, but I also think if you're a Chiefs defender, you don't even let the ref, you don't even let that thought pop in his head. It's insane.
Right. I mean,
but the way you guys just described, real quick, Brinson, all these
shots. You're mad you got pulled over for speeding, and you're thinking you're doing like 90 down the highway. Oh, come on, officer! It's empty road! Why?
You know, I'd say it's like you're going like 83 in a 75. Like, you're not going way over. And so you're like, hey, man, there's people going 90. Why aren't you pulling them over? And
he's
like,
Breach, you say, there's a guy that just sped past me on the side of the road to get to the airport. Why don't you pull that butthole over?
And the officer can just say, look, were you speeding? And you have to say yes. And he's like, all right, well, you get a ticket. Sorry. That, you know, end of story. I don't care what the other guy was doing. And so the way we're describing it almost takes a little bit away from the Buccaneers win with the way the second half ended, you know, cause if you, that was their, second touchdown drive. It was 7-3. And then when the Buccaneers were driving to put the lead to 14-3, that's when Brady threw the interception that should have counted because the ball was tipped. So then it's not 14-3. And then, you know, they got their third touchdown to make it 21-6 based on, you know, two questionable pass interference calls. So now you are talking about.
Andy Reid calling timeout on 3rd and 2 is dumb.
Yeah.
That was dumb. You don't call timeout there. You let the Buccaneers, like, you call timeout on first down. I get it, right? After they run that play.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. And we talked about this last night or on Sunday night, but you call timeout on third and two. You are begging them to convert and then take a shot after what we've seen from the Buccaneers this offseason or this postseason.
And I do think that one, you know, cause we did talk about this portion of the game, the end of the first half last night, but when you're able to rewatch it and see everything that happened, you do get a better feel of like how much officiating may have impacted the game. And I still think that even if, all the correct calls have been made, you know, the Chiefs still couldn't move the ball offensively. And maybe this game ends with the Buccaneers winning 17-9. But you know, that this would have kept the Buccaneers from scoring points. It doesn't fix anything differently. The Chiefs just couldn't move the ball, but I still think, the Chiefs.
This game could have been a lot more like Rams.
Patriots. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
And instead, you know, 21-6. I mean, it's very clear that whoever got to 25 points in this game first, like after the first quarter, I mean, I don't know, maybe there were some points that maybe we thought the points were coming, but I mean, whoever got to 25 points first was going to probably win this game. And when the Chiefs were at, when the Bucs were at 21 at halftime via, and look, I understand what you're saying. We can complain about the officials all we want, but you know, the Chiefs put themselves in positions to be flagged by the officials in all of these instances. Even, you know, I get that they screwed up the tip. That's fine, but you know.
There wasn't DPI on either one of those things. So yes, Breland's playing defense. Yes, Matthew's playing defense. They got flagged for the wrong call. That changed the tenor.
I mean, on the deep pass down the left to Mike Evans, I think it was an incidental trip for sure.
It 100% was.
But watching it live, it was easy to think that was pass interference.
That is not my problem, and that is not the problem, your problem. That is not, it's the Chiefs' problem. That's the only problem it is, because they screwed it up.
Well, that's fine, but I mean, I've been saying for months and for years that the whole process is idiotic, and that Al Riveron, you know, look, you need something in place to stop that. That's not the same thing as the, you know, the Saints Rams pass interference or whatever, but like, it's not too dissimilar.
It just wasn't as egregious, but it was the wrong call. And it's a thing where I don't remember, and Breach actually was there. I don't remember if the officials huddled at the Saints game, but just have a conversation. There's seven of you out there. No one watching the play at all. You just guessing? I mean, it's idiotic. Again, the Chiefs were going to lose that game, but just do what you did the whole time.
Well, I mean, if it's 10-3 at half or 10-6 at half, maybe the Chiefs aren't losing the game, you know?
Well, and that holding call, the one that overturned the Tyrann Mathieu interception, that was on third down. So, you know, that's automatic first down for the Buccaneers. If that pass would have fallen incomplete, literally anything outside that, it would have been the Buccaneers trying a field goal if it's incomplete. It's the Chiefs' fault if it's an interception. There was no way that play should have worked out well for Tampa Bay, but it did, because they get the defensive holding, the 5-yard penalty, the automatic first down, and all of a sudden they're scoring five plays later, just like they scored one play later after the penalty that gave Tampa Bay the first down on the field goal on 4th and 5. So it was just the penalties were just in crushing situations.
I would say I'm rewatching. I've just got it on my laptop right now. I was like actually at this part, like like with 18 seconds left in the first half. There's no huddle up from the officials. There's a quick discussion like, hey, this is what happened. The flag came out quick.
Like you said, upon first viewing, it looked like it, but I mean, yeah.
Evans got his heels hit up, but yeah, it's not like somebody dove and took him out. I mean, look, again, you want to let officials decide football games. You know, this is what happens when, you know, this is the risk you run. And so it's the risk you run too if you're Andy Reid. You know, you call that timeout on third down and you are asking Tom Brady to convert, and then you're asking Tom Brady to take a shot down the field. Like, I think the Buccaneers were going to go to half. They were running the football. They ran the football in 1st and 10. They were going to run the ball three times or two times, depending on, and let Andy Reid decide, do you want to call timeouts or do you want to get, like, they were going to let the clock run and go to half if Andy Reid didn't call his timeouts. And so you heard it from Nance and Romo in there. I mean, they were talking about, they're like, you know, on first down, you know, they're like, yeah, you know, you want to get the ball back. And then on the third down, Romo said, Jim, this is a risky timeout. and then noted that you do want to try to get the ball back. And that's your decision making process. And I get it, but it's third and two. It's not third and 17. It's not third and seven. It's not even third and five. It's third and two. And Tom Brady has the ball and you don't have a great defense.
And the Buccaneers have been averaging over 4 yards per carry up to that point. So like even a run gets a first down and, you know, then Tampa keeps driving.
And
my buddy, you're saving them clock.
Yeah. My buddy Garrett,
you and Garrett have spent a lot of time. You haven't talked about Zeke lately. What happened to Zeke?
Zeke's great.
Complicated.
My buddy Garrett.
Quick, the Buccaneers only had one timeout going into that drive, so it's not like they could have kept stopping the clock.
Yeah. So Garrett likes to use a phrase: "Just get to half." Like, in other words, you're in, the Chiefs were in a just get to half situation. You have Mahomes have been getting battered. You have 6 points. They had six at that point. Yeah. Right.
Yep. On the last drive for the Bucks, it was 14-6.
Yeah. So it's 14-6. You've just gotten a field goal after getting stood up in the red zone. You're down 8 points and you've probably played the worst half of football that you've ever had with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid together on Kansas City.
Maybe with Matt Castle and Todd Haley. That's how bad they played. I mean,
yeah. I mean, but like get to half. You don't need to get the ball back and try and be a hero at the end of the half. What you need to do is get into that locker room with the extended time of the Super Bowl halftime.
Right.
You need to figure out what is working, what is not working, and go back out there getting the ball back down 8 points. You're down one score. And then all of a sudden it's 21-6 and it just changes, as you said, it just changes the tenor of the game. And you're giving Tom Brady that extra free touchdown. And it was just poorly calculated by Andy Reid. And it was some tough calls against the Chiefs, but man, I mean, Kansas City put themselves in position to let bad things happen to them, you know?
Yeah, mission accomplished then.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead.
One other thing. I got so high talking about kicking last night. I didn't mention the punting. Tommy Townsend had a rough night for the Chiefs. He had two punts of under 30 yards. One of them.
What about the first one?
The first one.
That went 59 yards. Another penalty.
Oh, yeah. That was, and that's where I was going to get. Well, that's the Chiefs shooting themselves in the foot with a special teams penalty, which is just insane that you have that. Then you have your guy, you have to send him back out there. He already had a 29 yard punt in the game. So, you know, he's got those rookie jitters. He launches this 59 yarder and he's probably like, all right, yes, you know, like I'm over this. I'm ready to roll. Nope. You get called for a penalty. He has to punt again from his own from his end zone. The snap was from the 9 yard line. And so you're a rookie punter in the end zone in the Super Bowl, knowing that if you bobble the snap, which he kind of did, and then boom, he gets off a 29 yard punt. Buccaneers take over on the 38-yard line, and that is where that led to the drama that we all just talked about with the interception that Brady threw on third and four from the 32. But that punt directly led into all of this. You can't have two punts under 30 yards in the Super Bowl.
All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll look at some more deep dive into the Super Bowl 55.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts,
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's the butterfly effect for
real. Okay, so we talked about some of the defining moments of the Super Bowl. I think one could also argue, too, that our patron saint of announcing. Well, actually, I guess Dickie V's technically our patron saint of announcing. But incredible moment for one Kevin Harlan.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
That was great.
That is the king.
Just that to be guy clear, is drunk.
He wasn't talking about like any of the players or coaches. He was talking about the guy who ran into the field.
The streaker who ran onto the field.
And then pulled
over. That's going to get used a lot this offseason, I can promise.
See, I feel like
pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
I feel like since I have, he missed, and Ryan has, the Cowboys will go 9-7, that we need to get some mixer over to mine and Wilson's place so that we can play that one anytime Brinson makes a dumb point.
the mixer, the current setup for my mixer is we have three Kevin Harlans. We have Tyrann Mathieu, Dickie V, of course.
I'm almost in favor of retiring the Mathieu because, as you pointed out, no one can say his name correctly anymore.
I thought about retiring before this podcast and replacing the Kevin Harlan pull up your pants with it, but ultimately decided to swap out something else. Anyway, so let's talk about some more storylines that, you know, like it's easy to Tom Brady's legacy, Patrick Mahomes, the GOAT argument, blah, 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 blah. What are some storylines that are under the radar, maybe not under the radar, but like a deeper dive storyline that you guys think popped out from Super Bowl 55?
How Todd Bowles did it.
Oh, all the Todds look alike to you?
How Todd Bowles did it. And also, you know, you keep bringing up, what's his name on the other side of the ball?
Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, Eric Bieniemy. He only gets a name check when they get blown out.
It is tough. It's like, Bieniemy is in charge of everything.
But Byron Leftwich called the game of his life. And they made a lot of adjustments on both sides of the ball from that Week 12 game. Kenny White made this point on HQ at halftime of the Super Bowl. And he said something else that we didn't sort of remember or no one thought to look up. The Bucks had played 12 straight weeks in that Week 12 matchup. They had no breaks. They were probably exhausted. And clearly, they turned a corner after that because they haven't lost, didn't lose since. And in fact, according to our buddies, Football Outsiders, the Buccaneers offense from week 13 to now coming into the Super Bowl was better than the Chiefs offense. So spicy. you don't hear that a lot, but we certainly saw it.
Well, I think that one part there, remember that time when Brinson back in December was saying, if we start talking about the Seahawks defense being awesome, I am going to mute the entire podcast because they just played all the NFC East teams. And so we can't start talking about that. And that was kind of how people felt about the Buccaneers going into the playoffs because they played the Falcons twice. Falcons weren't good. And they played a Detroit Lions team that didn't have a coaching staff, in that Saturday game and they won 47-7. So there was a lot of, are they actually good? Because they just averaged about 40 points a game over the final 3 weeks of the season. And then playing Washington didn't help things because they couldn't put Washington might have played the best game against Tampa Bay of any team in the postseason. So, and so after that game, you're still thinking they barely beat Washington. Is this team good? Like, I don't know what to do. And so finally, I think in that Saints game where if you might have been ready to turn the corner, it was, well, Drew Brees looked like he's 75 years old. He threw a
bunch
of interceptions.
Saints gave the game back to him, right?
Right, exactly. And so you felt like, again, the Saints kind of threw that. Drew Brees gave that game away. And so now you're like, they can't go to Green Bay and beat Aaron Rodgers. And then what was it there? It was Matt LaFleur just making these
Tom Brady did three picks in a quarter.
Tom Brady threw three picks in seven plays. Yeah. But, you know, you have the Scotty Miller touchdown with 1 second left in the half because the Packers are on a bonehead defense. And you have the coach calling for a field goal, when taking the ball out of your MVP's hands. So there just kept being these things of
the reasons not to buy into Tampa Bay.
That's exactly
what I was thinking of on Monday morning. Why was I so wrong about it? And it is because like those are almost exactly what went through my head. It's like, I mean, you know, watching Tampa Bay. Yeah. I think they're good. I mean, but you know, there are these moments where a great team would have taken advantage of it. And I thought that the Chiefs would be that team.
To be clear, you know, who wasn't afraid to pick the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl?
You picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl.
Not in August. That's all that counts.
I cannot believe you did that.
That's not that, as Breach understands, it's not that big a deal.
It's weird.
You're weird.
So, Todd Bowles'
game plan really was incredible. Mark Schofield, I think, wrote something up at USA Today talking about how various points the Chiefs used the Buccaneers used a three safety look. Essentially, they put Antoine Winfield in the middle as kind of a robber, and they deployed those three safeties. They had them, two guys would drop down into the box a little bit and basically serve as double teams on Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And so then you would have Winfield or whoever else, somebody would rotate back in and play as a center field role too. And so by doing that, I think what was really important about that is that the Chiefs weren't prepared for it. And offensively, Patrick Mahomes wasn't ready for it. And it delayed his processing of the play and pushed him further into his reads. So when he actually did have time, sometimes the front four would just get home, but when he did have time to hold onto the ball, he wasn't seeing what he was used to seeing in terms of the field and the offense unfolding. And so he would end up taking off running, or he'd throw the ball away or try and force something downfield as he's falling off. And so I think you have to give a ton of credit to Todd Bowles there, because being able to minimize what Kansas City can do on offense in the early portion of this game is the sort of thing not dissimilar to what the Giants did against the Patriots, where, you know, if Kansas City comes out and puts up 14 points quick, maybe it's over, right? But when you stop them from scoring any touchdowns, you know, in the early portion of the game, you start to believe that you can pull this off. And then you saw just, you know, like the pass rush floodgates really opened up.
Yeah. And I think part of that, like what the Buccaneers did on defense last night was like masterclass. This was Belichick versus the greatest show on turf, Rams. But probably even better. You know, it was one of those where there's no way you can't beat them in a shootout. So you're going to have to hold them to, you know, under 20 points, but you can't do that. You can't hold that Kurt Warner Rams offense under 20. You can't hold the Chiefs to under 20, certainly not under 10. And so, yeah, I absolutely agree with everything you say, but I do think one thing, I wonder if more details will come out, is if Patrick Mahomes's toe got worse. And the only reason I say that is because, you guys know how many rushing yards he had in the second half?
No.
None.
Zero. It was zero.
Wow. For his life.
So you're talking about, he had five scrambles for 33 yards in the first half, and that was what was keeping Kansas City's offense alive. But
did you see the next gen stats?
He ran like 500 yards.
He ran 497 yards on Sunday night in the game. That's on a bad toe. That's not good.
No, that's not good at all. But he wasn't running. He, you know, when he's healthy, he has a different running motion than he does when he is running with a hobble toe. And it felt like a big part of the Chiefs offense in the first half was his ability to kind of scramble. And the Buccaneers didn't completely try to take that away. It felt like Mahomes was like consciously not trying to scramble in the second half for whatever reason. Maybe it was because he didn't want to take a hit. He didn't think he'd outrun anyone because of his toe. There was a report that he's going to get surgery on that. So I would like to know what his pain threshold was in the second half, because I don't think, he didn't look like the mobile quarterback, even though he ran 500 yards and whatever.
And, you know, Jim Nance and Tony Romo mentioned the toe thing early on, which sort of leads you to wonder, because, you know, they're in production meetings with the Chiefs, you know, and they're talking, like, that's the sort of thing where if you thought his toe was injured, or you got that sense from whether it's Andy Reid or Eric Bieniemy or even Mahomes himself, whoever it is. So, you know, anybody that you're talking to in those pre-production meetings, you obviously wouldn't put anything out there about it. Right. But then you would mention it I'm just thinking through the announcer's thought process. I don't know for sure what was said, but you know, in that sense, you would then reference it early in the game because you know that it could be a factor, and you reference it in a veiled way that doesn't throw anybody under the bus for telling you that Mahomes is hurt. And they mentioned the reports about the possible surgery. So yeah, I think you're probably onto something there, Breach.
He was asked again, about that.
I just want to be clear. I think the Buccaneers would have won this game based on everything we want. I don't think 100% healthy Mahomes fixes anything. A couple calls going.
He ain't blocking for himself.
Exactly. So I the Buccaneers were the better team. I want to make all the Buccaneers fans clear that this does not mean Kansas City would have won.
Well, and just, the other thing too is like, was the Chiefs game plan compromised because of Mahomes' injury in the sense of, did they not, you know, cause he didn't, they didn't do a bunch of bootlegs and rollouts and.
No, he ran for 30 yards in the first half or 23, whatever it was. He was part of the reason the running game was working and they're running. I know Breach said on the Sunday night podcast that he wanted to run more. That's not really what they do. And I feel like that would be, almost be giving up just because they've made a history of coming back. No, he wasn't 100%. I don't think anyone would disagree with that, but Mahomes was asked about his toe after the game and he said, look, I'm not going to use it as an excuse because I played lights out 2 weeks ago against the Bills and, you know, my toe's not an issue. We just didn't play well. He, you know, to sort of what Breach is saying, he gave all the credit to the Buccaneers and he said, I missed some receivers. Some receivers didn't run. They weren't where I thought they were going to be, which is a nice way of saying they ran the wrong routes. And he said the offensive line blocked sometimes. And I think he said other times they let people through, which is a nice way of saying the offensive line was dog dookie. So I don't think his toe was a problem at all, unless, as Breach noted, something changed from second quarter to the third quarter in terms of him being immobile. But the first half, they were, as you pointed out, they were terrible. So, and he was running around like crazy.
And it's just weird to see him go from averaging over 6 yards per scramble to not even trying to, and it's not a single time in the second half.
I think part of that issue was that they were getting home so quickly with four that he didn't have a chance to like get outside of the tackles. And I think because the one sack where he was broken into 14 pieces, where he got hit high by Sue and someone else and got hit low by Shaq Barrett, I think at that point, that was in the fourth quarter. I think at that point, it's like, you know what, mentally, this is it. I'm not gonna be able to play next year if I keep taking hits like this. And I just wonder if he just sort of not shut it down, but played smarter with the understanding that this game's a wash.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you're down 28-9. You're not trying to get killed. That's really what it comes down to.
And by the way, we have to give Britson credit, which I don't want to do, but Mike Garofalo of NFL Network tweeted out, he must have talked about it on the television program, 3:30 on Monday. I guess Peter King reported this too. So Garofalo must be doubling down on it. Mike Evans told Buccaneers to take back some money to pay other players, which is sort of what Brinson was saying on Sunday night about, what Chris Godwin might be willing to do to come back to win another Super Bowl.
That was both of us.
Oh,
but you were the only one against it.
I know I was. I didn't realize, I never, it probably just went over my head. Did you realize that Superb Owl always trends on Google this time of year?
Yeah. Everybody knows that.
By the way, that's
your first time on the internet, Wilson.
That's the most Brinson answer ever. Even if he doesn't know, he goes, yeah, everyone knows that.
Everybody knows that.
Cause that's what people use. Cause you're not allowed to use the word Super Bowl. If you're like advertising anywhere, if you're a restaurant and you're saying, hey, we're having all these Super Bowl deals, then you can have Superb Owl deals.
That's correct.
I'm the weirdo.
I didn't think of it. I'm just explaining it to you.
Okay. One more. By the way, so I think
you make that insanely rude comment just moments after I gave you a pat on the back. That's how you are. That's the type of person that you are that somehow falls ass backwards into $80,000. That's all I'm saying.
I didn't fall ass backwards into it. I worked. I earned it.
Here's a fun tidbit from Michael McCarthy. Jim Nance came up with the idea of inviting the healthcare workers to the Super Bowl and giving them free tickets.
Oh, you didn't
know that? Wow.
I didn't know that.
Everybody knew that.
See, now I think.
Everybody knew Nance came up with that idea.
And jeez. Roger Goodell loved the idea and made it happen.
That's fantastic. That good job by Nance. Did you know that last night was Jim Nance's 100th game with Tom Brady playing in it? That is crazy.
I was thinking again about our conversation about what Patrick Mahomes would have to do now that he's down 7-1 as opposed to 6-2. And I said four more Super Bowls over the next 10 years. He goes 16-0 a couple times. That's not going to be enough. I was thinking because, and we didn't even talk about this, but I saw the graphic 4,000 times on HQ. Tom Brady has more Super Bowl wins than any team combined.
That's correct.
You know what else, Wilson? He has more Super Bowl losses than the Bengals. Boom.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
He does have more Super Bowl losses than the Bengals and the Panthers.
You know who has more Super Bowl wins, though? Super Bowl rings than Tom Brady?
Belichick?
He has 8.
So that's what Brady's going for then.
Yeah, I mean, like, and, you know, we mentioned Travis Kelce and Rob Gronkowski before the Super Bowl as well. I think that I'll take a victory lap on Gronk versus Kelce, because that performance by Gronk, two touchdowns in the Super Bowl.
Kelce had 10 catches for 133 yards.
Kelce ain't catching Gronk, man.
And he had 8 drops.
What?
Oh, catch them for what?
For greatest tight end of all time.
Oh, get out of here.
What? How? How can
he catch him next year?
Yeah, I mean, this guy.
Oh, he can't even catch Tony Gonzalez next year.
You know what? Here's why Kelce's still in the argument, because nobody associates tight ends with how many Super Bowls they win, because if they did, Tony Gonzalez wouldn't even be in the top 5.
That's right.
That guy didn't win a Super Bowl, and so it just doesn't matter. It's just about your production as a tight end. That's what people are going to remember 10 years after your career's over. Tony Gonzalez is one of the greatest tight ends of all time. Because
they don't bring it into discussion with Tony Gonzalez because it's not relevant.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It might not be with Kelce. He's got a Super Bowl title.
Gronk has they don't win against the Rams without Gronk. Win against the Chiefs without Gronk.
I'm saying that Kelce's likely going to pass Gronk, all of Gronk's career numbers except for maybe touchdown catches. And he might pass that. And if he does that, he's not
catching him in touchdowns.
I said he might.
Everything.
You said he might. It ain't happening.
So let's say he passes him in every single metric except for touchdowns. Who's the best tight end?
And Tony Gonzalez is still out there, and Antonio Gates is still out there. I mean, Brinson is a slave to recency bias.
Whoa. It's not recency bias. I mean, Tom Brady and Gronk just won the Super Bowl, man.
But Breach just told you, and you didn't listen, that Super Bowls don't matter for tight ends.
They do. When you're comparing players, if you're comparing two players, you're going to talk about the Super Bowl victories, and you're going to talk about the playoff catches, and you're going to talk about the playoff touchdown catches, because Gronk is second all time in playoff touchdown catches behind only this guy named Jerry Rice. In career Super Bowl catches behind only Jerry Rice. He's second all time in Super Bowl touchdown catches behind only Jerry Rice.
Using that logic, Steven Gostkowski is a better kicker than Jan Stenerud.
I mean, I'm not saying you just look at the playoffs and the Super Bowl, but it matters.
Talking out of both sides of your mouth.
No, I'm not. I've been saying Gronk, that Kelce won't ever catch Gronk, and I think that's...
I think Breach would know, because Gronk went to one person's bachelor party, and it wasn't yours.
It wasn't yours, Brinson. That's true.
He didn't go to Breach's bachelor party. Breach stalked him.
Whatever. They were the same
place.
They're
both true. They can both be true, right?
Yes.
So let me just tell you this about Travis Kelce. So he had what, 10 catches? Yeah. So he has 16 catches in his Super Bowl career. If he has, he's one away from being on the all-time top 10 list for Super Bowl history. So if we're talking about Super Bowl records, if Kelce plays in one more Super Bowl, he's going to be catching Gronk in almost everything except for touchdown passes.
How? Because he's going to catch 10 in the next Super Bowl that he plays in?
He might.
He caught 10 in this one. Why not?
That's ridiculous.
How's that ridiculous?
He's like, oh, automatically 10 catches. Yeah, that's just silly.
I mean.
He can't argue with him. Just let him have his own.
I mean, I just feel like the Gronk, I mean, we slammed the door shut on the Gronk-Kelce argument, and you guys are clown shows for...
No, we're not slamming the door shut. We're just saying Kelce has a few more years left. You slamming the door shut is ridiculous.
Well, Breach, here's the thing. Like, we're going to find out in 2 years that Kelce's going to end up having a slightly better career, and Brinson will just pivot and say, yep, Kelce's better, and move on. Like, he won't own it. So it's just, don't waste your breath on it. He's wrong.
Do we think we see it? Do we see all of Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, and Mike Evans will be back, but, Gronk, and are those all four of those pass catchers back on the Bucs next year?
No. I don't think so. And Shaq Barrett's also someone you got to pay. And Levante David, I think you pointed out.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow, too. Any other storylines from this particular Super Bowl that stand out to you guys?
I'll see. I want to wait 2 seconds till Debo quits typing. He might want us to quit talking. No, he can quit typing. I don't know what that means. No, I don't have anything. Do you have anything, Breach? You want to talk 10 more minutes on the kickers again?
I mean, if you want me to, I can.
I don't.
Sure. What do you think about the kickers?
They were amazing. They were amazing. No, I won't. I won't do that to everyone. You guys let me go on my kicker tangent yesterday. I don't need to do it.
I didn't let you do it, but I will ask you this quickly. When's the last time that there were no missed field goals in a Super Bowl? Do you know that?
That has happened.
Is that within
the last 10 years.
Oh, so it's not that frequent.
It doesn't happen frequently, but it has happened somewhat recently.
And all those kicks were striked by the kickers, respective kickers. There weren't any sort of wobbly kicks, sort of like the punter who was struggling to catch the ball.
Suckup had one extra point that was like, and you know, I will say this. I'm actually, I wanted to bring this up, but then I forgot because it wasn't really that big of a deal. But I thought the biggest field goal in the game, because the Chiefs were losing by so bad, I don't know if you can count Butker, but Ryan Succop's 52-yard field goal was absolutely clutch because it was 28-9. That is where Brady got sacked for a 15-yard loss, right? And so now all of a sudden the Buccaneers had 4th and 25 at the Chiefs' 34-yard line. And if he misses that field goal, it's still 28-9. The Chiefs get the ball at the 42-yard line. All of a sudden you score a touchdown, 2-point conversion. You're down 28-17 with like a minute left in the third quarter. It's anyone's game. And, you know, like I said, there had only been 6 field goals of 50 yards or more in the Super Bowl. So that was not a gimme. And like you just said, Ryan, all the field goals were clutch, and that was one that went through.
Yeah, there's something else I was going to say.
And the kickers.
Before we do wrap up, one more thing. We talked about this with Adam Azer, Breach and I did. Mm-hmm. Where is the Super Bowl? How low is the Super Bowl going to rank all time?
In terms of watchability?
It's pretty far down.
In terms of watchability?
Yeah, like when I'm adding it to my rankings next year, where are we going to put this one?
Well, currently, last place is, I'm guessing, Rams-Pats. What's next on your list from the
Rams,
bottom?
Rams-Pats. You guys have that as last?
No, that's not last.
What's last?
Yeah, top 21.
Broncos losing to the 49ers 55-10?
At least there are points, though. I think I like points better than no points.
55-10?
If you're the if you're the 49ers, you're just loving it. Sort of like Buccaneers fans.
How about the Raiders beating Washington 38-9? So it's like this game, except worse.
I like high scoring game. Like I like blowouts.
Here's the bottom five for me on my current rankings. Super Bowl, 29, 49ers, 49, Chargers 26. Do they really put up 40? The 49ers put up 49? That's kind of crazy. They just slaughtered the Chargers in that game.
Yeah. I was a senior in college. That's a long
next to was. Next to last. I put the Seahawks Broncos Super Bowl, in New York. Reaches first Super Bowl.
Wait a second.
I thought that was the Super Bowl in the last 20 years is most comparable to this one, yes. Where you had a high powered offense that you thought was going to put up points, and then the defense was so good it shut them down.
But here's the thing. Why, like, if you're the Pats or Rams fans, did you enjoy watching a game that had 8 total points? I just felt like at least in the games that you're mentioning here, there were some points scored. Now look, that Broncos Seahawks game was an absolute blowout from
the entire second half was.
Well, the first play of the game was a snap over Peyton Manning's head. Yeah. They pulled a Roethlisberger safety in the end zone, except.
Then I have
Johnny Hecker put on a punting clinic in that Super Bowl, Ryan. Come on. You can't. That's top 5 Super Bowl for me.
You have
Broncos, 49ers 55, Broncos 10, Ravens 34, Giants 7.
Yeah, 48, again,
Raiders 21.
Hold on. The Ravens Super Bowl, that they had just moved from Baltimore, from Cleveland a few years before that. They drafted Ogden and Ray Lewis with their 2 first round picks, and they won with, what's his face? The old Buccaneers quarterback, Trent Dilfer. I sort of like that. At least there are storylines
You have to rank them somewhere. Like, it's got to be.
So, Ryan, what you're saying is the worst Super Bowls were the ones that were low-scoring blowouts, like 24-7.
What game is that?
That is
the
Dolphins
game from Sunday.
Dolphins Vikings Super Bowl 8.
Yeah, see, I mean, I that's hard for me. Like, I think the Super Bowls before we started watching are hard to gauge. I get it. But, yeah, I think
Super Bowl 50, 24-10.
Super Bowl 50 is a good comp, I think.
Yeah, that wasn't a great Super Bowl, but I'm just shocked that you guys don't think that the Atlanta Super Bowl.
I had the Patriots Rams 13-3 as ranked 30th.
Oh, all right. Go ahead,
just and then 29th that. Was Broncos Panthers.
Oh, okay. You skipped over that part. Okay. 30th. Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
I mean, you got to remember like a lot. I mean, you know, like some of these, I mean, these old Super Bowls for a long time, Super Bowls were terrible.
Did the under hit in that Rams Pats game?
Yeah, I think so. Nah. Like Colts Bears wasn't even that great of a, you know, Devin Hester the kick return, but that wasn't a great Super Bowl. It was pretty much a blowout.
You guys want a fun fact real quick?
There's Steelers Seahawks I have as the 26th Super Bowl.
And I want to know where these Super Bowls are ranked on your list, Brenton. There's only 3 Super Bowls in history where one team didn't score a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, no touchdowns by the Chiefs.
Super Bowl 55, the Chiefs. Super Bowl, the Rams one that we've been talking about. And the other one was Super Bowl 6, and the Cowboys beat the Dolphins 24-3. Where do you have Super Bowl 6 on your rankings?
That's my number one.
I'm not surprised. You're a Cowboys homer. Notorious Cowboys homer.
I picked him to win the Super Bowl before the season.
Did you?
No, Breach did.
Yeah. Wait, Super Bowl 6 is – wait, what are the Roman numerals? V-I. Sorry.
Jeez, a pizza.
V.
Do you know how hard it is?
Should I do the I, Ryan?
Yeah. This is the guy we have in charge of doing the Super Bowl rankings. He can't even count Roman numerals.
Please. I'm searching.
It's like the second thing you learn at prep school, Brenton.
You're talking about Cowboys Dolphins?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm just confirming, Ryan. You don't have to be a jerk about it. I have that ranked as the 38th Super Bowl. Tom Landry's Cowboys blistered Miami in this one, which is wild because the Dolphins were one season away from going undefeated.
Oh,
Miami managed one second quarter field goal while Dallas rumbled for 252 rushing yards.
Wait, I'm an idiot. For some reason, when you said you ranked the Rams past 30th, I was like, oh, out of 32 teams. No, they're 55 Super Bowls now. That should be like, 50-55 somewhere. It can't be.
I'm telling you, some bunch of bad Super Bowls.
I have to look at your list. You won't believe this, but I haven't read it yet.
Wait, you know, Azer was like, I read your list. I was really impressed by that article. That was really good. I was like, I don't want you to, you know, think less of me, Adam, but you do know I don't like do the list every year.
I wrote it once 8 years ago.
Yeah, I did. I put a lot of work into it 5 years ago. And now it's like, I get bugged to add a blurb for the Super Bowl, each new Super Bowl.
Doesn't make sense to rewrite everything.
That makes just the life easy for you though. All you can do is add one blurb and all of a sudden you got a brand new story.
That's, yeah, exactly. I'm not trying to grind out. It should tell me how many words are in that story, right? Let's see.
Yeah.
It is.
You just count them.
I forgot how the CMS works. 4,328. It's pretty beefy.
So you write, if my math is correct, 250 words a year for that story.
That's
stay
right.
Stay hot. All right.
Hey, work smarter. Don't work harder.
That's right.
All right, that's it for the show. For John and Ryan and Will, Jared Dubin's gonna come on to break down the Super Bowl with us later this week. We'll have a deep dive we'll keep talking, much more, Brady Quinn's mad at the pick six. Oh, look at Wilson dancing! Yes!
Pick six party.
Pick six party. All right, thanks for listening. Talk to you guys later.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.